Jesus is risen. Jesus is Lord. And that means that all the forces, everything that would hold us in slavery, hold us or anyone in slavery, has been dealt with. It is defeated. It is rendered powerless. So we can now go in freedom. Go out there, not to take a specific land, but to go to all kinds of lands, to all kinds of nations and peoples and ethnic groups, helping whoever we find enter the kingdom of God, which they can do for themselves because they too can know and become in relationship with Jesus. I want us to understand that the story of the Israelites, the Jewish nation, God's people, their story of coming out of Egypt, out of slavery, into their land, as I said before, that is a preview movie. It's a teaser trailer. It's something that's shown before the real deal that comes later on. They were stuck in slavery. Then there's a dramatic event and they are led out to be the people of God, able to live and operate in the authority of God. That acts as a preview for the real deal. The whole of the older part of the Bible is full of these little snippets, these little teasers, these trailers. And there's another one way back in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. And in chapter 49, there's this guy, Jacob, and he's one of these guys in the Bible who has two names just to confuse us. He's Jacob, but then he's renamed Israel, the forefather. He's the guy who has 12 sons for the 12 tribes of Israel. And in chapter 49, he's blessing all his sons. And I'm just going to read verse 10, where he blesses Judah and says to Judah, the scepter, the rule will not depart from you. The ruling will never leave you until he to whom it belongs shall come. And the obedience of all the nations shall be his. See, that's a little teaser there. See, Judah at the time wouldn't have been able to understand all that God was planning, but now we get from our privileged position to look back and we see, that makes sense. Remember Judah in the kingly line of which Jesus comes from. And the one who comes, that is Jesus, will come with ruling and authority, and the obedience of all the nations will be his. Another little marker set down for us. All this comes together in Jesus. And the whole plot, the whole stuff, it all comes together not only in Jesus, but supremely in Jesus and his death and resurrection. The one who died and rose. And now we have this little snippet to finish our series where we've been looking at Isaiah and Matthew together. Little snippet at the end of Matthew where Jesus is risen again, obviously, and he physically appears to his disciples and he leaves them this parting message. And he commissions his followers. And in it, he says some crucial things. Verse 18, he says, "All authority has been given to me." All authority. Now, we've heard that before. If you've been paying attention during this series, it would have been about 4 or 5 weeks ago when Jesus was having these arguments with religious leaders. And Jesus said, "But I see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in heaven." And the religious leaders knew what he was talking about. He was referring to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven into the heavenly throne place to meet with God, and all authority is given to him. All the nations and the peoples will obey him. So when Jesus stands in his risen appearance to his disciples, he's referring to that again, because this is not some distant hope. This is not something for the way in the future. No, this has happened in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. All authority is given to him. The Son of Man has gone into the heavenlies, and now all authority is his. This is referring to something that's taken place. He has now all this authority over the whole world. And then he continues with a dead simple logic. And the dead simple logic goes like this. Given that, now this. Given that all authority has been given to me, now this. Given that all authority has been given to me, the obedience of the nations, now you go. That's the simple logic. Go. Make disciples of all nations, of all peoples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to all the stuff that you've learned, or in fact still learning, because we believe in lifelong discipleship and learning. You see the simple logic? Now that all authority has been given to me, now you go. Given that this has happened, now you go. The two are connected. It's not like, well, I've got all authority, now what other idea can we think of? Oh, I know, why don't you go? No, because he has all authority, now you go. And so we go in that same authority of Jesus, because he delegates his authority to us. The two are connected. So when we go, we don't just go because we were told to. We don't just go because we think it might be a good idea. But we go in his authority that he has already been given himself. And notice how simple the go is. Just three things. It's not complicated. It just says, make disciples. In other words, get people to follow me just like you are following me. Baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Immersing them in all things God. And teaching them all the stuff that you learnt and are learning. There's no more complicated than that. Just three things he says to go and do. Not complicated. But none of it, not a single item, not just one of the three things, that none of it will happen unless we go and exercise the delegated authority of Jesus that he sends us with. Now, just a little technical point. In the Greek, to all nations, that in the Greek is ta ethne. Ethne is the word where we get ethnic and ethnicity from. In other words, it's go to all the ethnics, all the ethnicities, to all the peoples. It doesn't matter color, background, part of the world, go to them. To people even far from God. But remember that this is a quiet revolution. It's not a military takeover. There is to be no force or coercion. Simply go in the authority of Jesus. If you remember just one thing from this morning, remember that the authority of Jesus is there. It's a given. And so our task is to go out in that authority and encourage people to enter the kingdom that stands already. Enter his kingdom and discover its blessings. So this morning, a fairly simple logic. And so with that logic, we have a simple key question and challenge, if we can bring up that, an out question, of course. To which people is God calling you to go? To which people? Presumably because we're all finite. You are a finite human being. You yourself as an individual can't go to everyone. So to which people is God calling you to go? Work out the answer to that question. And then the challenge is pray for those people. Discern, work out to which people God is calling you to go, and then pray for them. Say, God, what am I supposed to say to them? How am I supposed to say to them? How am I supposed to get alongside them? How am I supposed to encourage them to become disciples and enter the kingdom for themselves? Open their hearts, open their lives. Show me the way with these people. Pray for them. But notice I deliberately set this question on the assumption that you will actually go. Because Jesus didn't leave that in my reading as a negotiable. So if you're not prepared to go, then there's no point asking the question. There's no point being here. Might as well pack up and go home, to be brutally honest. Go. Go as a core priority of your life. Go not as, oh, this is an add-on. This is one of those things that you hear in a sermon and you go away and you think, yeah, well, I need to consider doing that. I need to add that on to all the stuff of my life. No, that's not the force of what Jesus said. It's not just for the few keenies, as I put it, but it is for all of us to go as a core priority of our life. But understand that I do think it is possible and legitimate and valid to go as a mother or father or brother or sister or uncle or aunt or nephew or cousin or whatever. In other words, go, but that doesn't mean that all your family ties have to evaporate and trash, all your family responsibilities need to fall by the wayside. Go with those family ties and responsibilities. And you can go as an accountant, as an engineer, as someone who works in the supermarket, as someone who drives around fixing things, as someone who makes things, or whatever your occupation is, you can go and do the task of making disciples, of baptizing and teaching. In other words, through who you are and what you do, you can go. Now, for some people, that balance will shift and they will find them, God calling them to adjust that balance and maybe work in those occupations less. But that's between God and that person. As a general principle, whether you're a musician or a teacher or a doctor or whatever, go. And make disciples through who you are and what you do. Baptizing people and teaching them all the things that you know and are still learning. But whatever you do, out of all the vast array of things that you can be and can do, whatever you do, do it with this commission from Jesus as a core priority in your life, as something that you find at the core of your God-given life purpose. The core of what God is calling you to do is to make disciples, baptize people, and teach them all the stuff that you know. But remember one last thing that Jesus said, right at the end there, just before Matthew runs out of ink or parchment or however it ended. Jesus said, "I will be with you." So he's not sending us out alone. He's not saying, right, well, I'm going to rise up on the clouds and vaporize and disappear, so off you go, kind of figure it out. See you at the end of the epoch. No. He will go with us. He will be with us. Because the bottom line, all this kingdom business of seeing people enter the kingdom and become disciples and being baptized and learning and that, the bottom line, it is his work and his desire that this work goes forward. We get to join in. The question for us is, do we desire to even see that? Do we desire to join in? So Stephen and Kate talked about the conference and the speaker, Michael Quick. He had this fun little thing that he talked about, and it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but he said, remember those wristbands, WWJD, what would Jesus do? He said that was rubbish, that those wristbands were heretical and no good. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, he was saying this. He was saying that this was no good because you're saying, what would Jesus do? Kind of making it sound that Jesus wasn't here. But of course, Jesus promised to be with us. And so he proposed a new wristband, which will come up on the screen. There it is, rolls off the tongue. What is Jesus doing with me right now? Because he is present with us, at work, longing, desiring people to enter his kingdom. Well, obviously, we had a bit of fun with this, and he said that it doesn't really work on a wristband and doesn't quite trip off the tongue and what have you. But theologically, much more accurate. As God is out there working, his spirit is out there working, desiring that people discover his kingdom and enter it. So when we're going out, it's not what would Jesus do, but what is Jesus doing with me right now? How do I get to join in with this? But do we even desire to see that? If our mentality, if all we desire is only within these four walls, then we're missing that tiny little two-letter word, but that crucial word of go. Go out there and see what Jesus is doing and join in with that desire to see what Jesus is doing and get on board with that. So I've challenged the leadership team to go into a season of praying for our desire to see what Jesus is doing and to join in with that. Because if we don't even have the desire, how are we even going to start? So you'll hear this on Wednesday at the church meeting, of course, and a few other ways in the week of prayer in a couple of weeks' time. We will start with our desire to see what he is doing. Let us go and join in with what God is doing, declaring and asserting his kingdom. We get to join in. Why don't we stand together? And I'm just going to invite the Spirit to speak into our lives, to commission us afresh, and then we'll see how it pans out. Jesus, enable us to hear those words that you gave to those first disciples. Enable us to hear them for ourselves. Because you have all authority, therefore we are to go. To go as a house husband, to go as an engineer, as an architect, as a brother, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a niece, and make disciples, immersing people into all that is God, and enabling them to know all the stuff that we have benefited from so far. Commission us, Lord.